And while you're there, make sure you compliment Ronald on his hair. It means a lot to him.
Yeah, I mean, he bleached his hair. Why, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, he feels good about it.
I know he
feels
good about it.
I would encourage everyone to compliment him on his hair.
One of the, and this is...
You know, I think he feels pretty.
And when you feel pretty, you are pretty. As a matter of fact, I want to ask Jennifer O'Neill that question, because Jennifer O'Neill is probably one of the most beautiful women in the world. And I got to ask you this question. We were just talking about our van driver, Ronald, who frosted his hair on the top. Do you believe that when you feel pretty, you are pretty?
Am I on here?
Yeah, you're
on. Hello, guys.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you? I was just dancing away to Santana and listening to you talk about the hair color. And I didn't realize I was on.
But is that...
I think if you think you feel and look good, you do.
So whether you actually look good, isn't it? If you feel pretty, you are pretty.
Well, I think, obviously, to coin an old phrase, that beauty is beyond skin deep, and a lot of us overlook that, especially when we're young. But
you know what they say, ugly goes to the bone.
That could be, but I just think that beauty is a multitude of things, starting with how we feel spiritually and emotionally and also physically.
Well, I want to tell everybody, Jennifer O'Neill, of course, if you haven't seen her on magazine covers for decades or have seen her in her movies like Summer of 42, Rio Lobo, Scanners, which I remember watching in the movie theater. And,
don't mess with me now.
I'll scan you. And you are also, you're now, and I want to say this so that the general audience can understand it. You are born again now, are you not?
Born again Christian, yes.
And when did that happen? Because I'm going to read an excerpt from your book that's out right now, and it's no wonder, but when did that happen for you?
Actually, it was 15 years ago, and I wrote, at the prompting of my kids, my autobiography called Surviving Myself, which was a very appropriate title for my life. And it wrote it because it was a life that on the outside looked fantastic. Movies, fame, fortune, modeling in Paris at 15. But I had this emptiness, this hole in my heart. And I found, when I found my faith at 38, it just changed my life.
I want to read an excerpt, and it's like, my God, if you go and have, you see all this glamour on the movie screen and in the magazine covers, but I just want to read just a little bit of this.
Okay.
It says, by age 38, I had mourned 9 miscarriages, certain that they were the result of an agonizing abortion, multiple brushes with death, numerous broken limbs, including my neck and back, car crashes, a gunshot wound, life-threatening surgeries, defaulted multi-million-dollar contracts, early bouts with depression, resulting in hospitalization and shock therapy. My God.
Stan, I think you shuffled the papers wrong. That's the Snoop.
No, that's what's so amazing about the restoration that my faith brought me, and that's why I've written about it. And the truth does set you free, so addressing some of those issues was at the very least cathartic, but has brought me to a place where I speak to thousands of kids and people at a clip. In the new book is just the release of our unforgiveness and empowerment into all that we can be in our lives.
Now, the book is called Fallen to Forgiven, and this, from what I was told from your people, this is like on the bestseller list, is it not?
It is. Perhaps it's just the timing with 9/11, et cetera, but I believe I'm 54 years old and a mom of 3 and a grandmother of 3 with one on the way, and I feel like I'm the best time of my life, and I believe that people really want to be empowered. And Fallen to Forgiven addresses, biblically based, it's not Jennifer O'Neill's theory on happiness, it's really sound, interesting doctrine with other people's stories and an absolute step through so that we can release our unforgiveness, because our unforgiveness, it only hurts us. It makes us bitter, angry, depressed, make bad decisions, and turns into addictions and all kinds of things. And we can be released of that. So that we're not bound to our past, and then the healing comes.
Well, let me, with all this stuff, now, if memory serves me right, reading parts of biographies that I've read about you, you broke your back at a very early age horseback riding, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And now leading into the fame and fortune that you had and the stardom that you had, would you say part of your lifestyle and the things that you happened to you and the decisions that you made were part of just living in the fast lane, that everybody wanted you? You had to be at a photo shoot, do a movie?
Yeah, I think that might be in part. I didn't have a whole lot of discernment in areas that were important. Therefore, I had a lot of failed relationships, and I say that I'm embarrassed about it. But the fact of the matter is, I thought someone else could fill me up, and I didn't pick the right guys, and my life wasn't based on a solid foundation, although, again, it looked great on the outside. Lots of people are zooming around in the right car, married to the right person with the right job, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be happy or healthy or good for their kids or their relationships. And it starts with us, so it's not a finger-pointing mission. It really is aligning ourselves, putting all the ducks in a row so that we can be the best we can be for the people that we love.
Yeah, but you also have to, and I'm sure you understand this better than anybody else, I mean, you got into the limelight and the public view at a very young age.
Very, you 15 were, years old, sure.
Where you were extremely naive and were probably manipulated by a lot of people.
Well, you know what? My books deal with the sexual abuse of my daughter. It deals with teen suicide. It deals with tough issues. And I don't care what you look like at 15 years old, which I was when I was modeling in Paris for Vogue. I'm still only 15. So inevitably, I bumped into life in situations that perhaps or no, assuredly were beyond my knowledge and ability to handle. But what I'm saying is, though, that ultimately we are responsible for everything we think, say, and do. And so that's when we become empowered, when we say, okay, let go of what your parents did to you or that person did to you. Now that's your past. You are in control of your future. It is your choice. And, you know, I have a 5.5-year good marriage. I know that sounds silly after all these years, but it's a great tribute.
lasted longer than mine.
Yeah, and so you begin to get the tools of making your life whole and happy and sending on to your kids or your grandkids the best information, and you're the billboard of your own life.
All right, now I want to change gears a little bit because I want to talk to you one-on-one, kind of a personal thing here.
Okey-doke.
The summer of 42.
Uh-huh.
Like so many people, when I was a teenager and saw that movie, I literally fell in love with you watching that film. That film was so amazing because I think when I first saw it, I was at the age of Hermie there.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, the first love kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And you were the older woman at all of 22.
Right. Everyone thinks I'm around 95 now.
And the thing was that movie, and I did not realize it, that I guess your total screen time in that film was all of about 12 minutes.
That's all. But with the great help of, you know how powerful music is. Michel Legrand wrote an incredible theme song, which later became a top 10 with Peter Nero. But I think the combination of the music, the wonderful direction of Robert, and the acting, and that it was a very sweet look at a first love, but compelling.
And
we're going to revisit it.
This is what I want to find out now. You're going to revisit this because I understand you were involved in the writing of this, of taking it 20 years forward to 1962. Is this going to be made? Is this going to be made into a film?
Well, we have a deal with Warner Brothers right now, and we're just trying to find a home for it, and it looks like it's going to happen this year. I think it's a wonderful story. Sometimes you don't want to meet a hero. Do you know what I mean by that? The film is such a classic. And I thought long and hard, and I have a wonderful partner on the piece, but I think the 1962 is a time in our past that is fun to revisit. It's before the 70s. It's before Vietnam. It still is bittersweet and a nice time to remember. And if you take two people and imagine that this incredible first love that was so fleeting could actually re-meet 20 years later and come full circle, I think it's interesting.
Now, you're going to tell us the ending, like, do you and Hermie get together?
Yes, they do.
Oh, really?
Wait, but the tables are turned. There was 5 or 6 years difference in Hermes and Dorothy's age at the time, and then 20 years later, that's not a big deal.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, he is the one that's more control, and she's the one that's more vulnerable.
All right, and before I let you go, Rio Lobo, tell me one good John Wayne story.
Oh, gosh. All I can say about John Wayne is that he was an absolute gentleman, and, you know, he had lung cancer and had one lung removed. And we were shooting a scene in the saloon, and I had to shoot the bad guy. And the director, who was a bit senile, had us Howard Hawks had us had the Duke carry me upstairs. After I shoot this man, I faint, and he's supposed to carry me up the stairs, which was very difficult with his one lung. But he was such a gentleman. He said, fine. We did the shot. Each step it was, and I thought we weren't going to make it, but he made it up to the top of the stairs, and the DP, the man behind the camera, said to the director, you didn't tell us to follow them up the stairs, at which point John Wayne dropped me on the floor and said, I'm not doing it again. Now, but he actually did. He was a terrific guy.
And he lost that lung with lung cancer. Didn't he continue smoking, or did he quit?
No, he didn't smoke. And he, you know, was cancer-free for many years.
Until it finally got him again.
Until eventually. But I remember this was probably 5 years in, so he was in pretty good shape. But he shouldn't have been carrying young ladies up and down the stairs.
The book is From Fallen to Forgiven, Jennifer O'Neill. And I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you. And I hope I can come back because we're just finishing our CD.
I heard about that. Yep, that's
and
exactly right.
Same kind of music. And if I may mention my website is just jenniferoneill.com.
Jennifer, you can do anything you want.
Well,
you got
thank you so much, guys.
You got Stan wrapped around your little finger.
I appreciate it.
Bye, Jennifer.
Thank you.
There she goes.
Howdy, folks.
And the Duke, Jennifer O'Neill.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.